speakers.
Captain, it's a lot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
There has to be a limit.
Yes, yes, all taken care of, sir, all taken care of, absolutely. That's my shop.
I have not been able to.
I want to have these out, have the copies of the board.
Not to make it easier, just get a copy. The whole commission.
I've got the other.
We have that.
That's right, we do. They already got these.
Tell me who you are.
I'm your name.
Oh, are you Amy? Do you remember when I called on you 4 years ago? I was trying to identify you someplace that you're in Minnesota.
No, I can't be on this one.
Well, we're honored to have you here.
What I have is.
How are you getting along?
Well, can you think of the.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the city going bankrupt.
For you.
Good for you. No, I called on you.
Ruling to be huge, all sorts of.
No.
And you gave me several names, which I followed up with.
This is the agenda.
And we finally ended up with a man named Edwin Stein from Boston University.
Oh, did you?
Zero to the check.
Ed had some unfortunate.
He doesn't live with it.
Problems. He had to leave. He moved to.
Oh, has he?
Yep.
No, I think I'm home. He's here.
How's Al Gore?
He's just fine. He's just fine. He's full of.
Just to touch base.
Tell him what he is going to be.
Got an endless energy?
Yeah.
For a weekend. Whole weekend.
Had one of the best years last year.
Right.
That's right.
There's no way of knowing that. He's retired, I'll tell you that.
Has he theoretically retired?
No.
No.
Well, he's passed the work on the young members.
Well, who is?
Ralph Dunsell.
Oh, is he?
What you can ask him.
Very bright guy.
Yeah, he's a very. I'm really very pleased to be out here. Taking a Minneapolis day as a New York citizen. Flew out this morning, not flying back this afternoon.
Are we ready?
But it can be done.
Oh, yeah. It can be done. I frequently do it the other way around.
Well, you do it. You can take a day and be home for a bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now,
let's go right ahead.
Sit for it. I'm going to get off.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you just kind of look right past me, and I'm going to grab a bottle.
Stare at Frank Michaels.
Why don't you look right at Frank? Why don't you look at my ear?
So they don't get me.
Frank Michaels is
certainly don't need
you. He's not very photogenic here.
Maybe he.
You a member of the Gardens?
I'm trying to get away from the glass.
All we've been doing it for 20 minutes.
I think I used the wrong terminology.
Huh?
reporter. Is this,
There have been, there have been.
Is this the fourth, third, or fourth?
Third.
It started out with the idea that we would do some sort of a week ago Tuesday.
We don't even have a court.
Very quickly.
Well, I know, because
I don't, I really haven't tried to read much of the scientific.
Produced a report on this one. That was a 9 month job, that's what I was on the channel, the baby, that's so.
Not a healthy.
Well, we just,
There have been many, many, one younger than that.
Still born all.
Is it true with Betty Gibson, well, that the customs people actually mailed the package?
Well, they didn't think so, and they let it keep, and they just kept it, let it kind of continue on its way.
I don't know.
Do you know?
Supposedly everyone's cards out, it's gonna be here. That's their issues.
I guess, I'm so.
Oh, I know her. I do that tour every day.
Do you that thing at the Wharton School?
No, we have the editorial lab. It's all wrapped up and stuff.
The only hearing I listen to is if you get more out of that, you can cover all of some of your bar. More of them just have been.
Well, no, I was thinking, I said, I'm a chaplain. Lincoln Center doesn't get much of that station. Lincoln Center ain't in the census.
But I don't beat you there.
Beats you there. No, they're seven, they're seven.
Yeah, they're only.
It's a 540, 550. This is, but I'm sure it's missed. It's a, four.
Get him on.
There's a 440. There's a 345. But that's just not, doesn't make sense. I've already crossed that bridge. No, I've already faced that one squarely. There isn't any.
They were saying,
that's right, I will be.
Let me try a couple more.
What's that?
I just said a couple more pictures.
Oh, good. No, no problem.
Why don't you just talk to somebody back there?
Get somebody out in the hall.
Some imaginary.
Somebody who's a little near my left shoulder, is that what you want? A little out of know what to do. It bothered me to talk when I had nothing to say.
I was substituting there.
I do both, let's put it that way.
Oh, very good.
Did I say it right?
Well, I have quite a lot on hold for this discussion because I think if you follow the
I think so too.
What do you think?
It looks a little rocky.
You want to take I was getting this and all, how to handle myself the other day.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we will start. I think we have enough for a quorum, and we have a fairly lengthy agenda today. I want to in particular leave enough time for a full discussion with our distinguished visitor today. The first item on the agenda is the approval of minutes of the January 5, 76 meeting of the Commission and the January 30, 1976 meeting of the Executive Committee. Copies of those minutes have been mailed to all members of the Commission. Are there any corrections to those minutes? If not, may I have a motion approving them?
I'm sorry.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The I would then like a motion, unless there are changes, approving the proposed agenda for today, which is before you, which also has been mailed. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. David, do you or Michael want to carry us through the petitions and communications?
All right. There is there's been a list of petitions and communications distributed to you. I don't know if we have the letters there. If you have any questions about any of the letters we received, be the appropriate time to discuss them.
Are there any comments with regard to those items? All right. Item 4 on the agenda, the governor's report on my report on the governor's charge. You all have received the letter describing our meeting with the governor and the discussion of the scope of activity of this commission, and the conclusion which we reported to all of you and was discussed at the executive committee on January 30, namely that the commission in essence should spend the amount of time necessary to do a thorough job rather than trying to rush through a very superficial report in time for any particular piece of legislation during the current session. In response to that conclusion, the executive committee discussed at some length the types of questions that should be attempted at least answered by this commission during its life. And David Dernberger has helped prepare a revised timetable and list of issues which we hope to be discussed, and the additional budget which will be required in his opinion to achieve these ends. The proposed meeting schedule and agenda therefore
subject to change as we go through the next few months, is Exhibit A before you. Exhibit B are the proposed issues for consideration by the commission. And I, again, want to comment that I think that those are preliminary. There may be some that we are not going to be able to go into in detail. There may be some that are not appropriate. There may be plenty that are not included in that. But at least this represents a first attempt to try and consider all the factors which would be appropriate in a systematic overview of arts funding in this state. I think, and the last item is Exhibit C, the proposed budget. The budget through February 15 was as originally proposed by the commission. If we go to what is that, July, August, September 15, the budget would be increased to a net of $37,600, and if it went to for a full 10 months to $57,600. I do not feel we are sufficiently confident at the moment as to how long it will take to complete the work we are talking about. We do have, as I said, a proposed time frame which would carry us through August 6th, and these are our best estimates at the moment of the cost of operations to that point. I think what I would like to do is have the full commission first of all indicate whether there are any serious reservations as to this procedure. This represents at the moment the opinion of the executive committee and of the staff as to how we should proceed and the types of things we should be looking into and their cost. The budget will involve more contributions to the state of Minnesota to cover the cost of this operation than were initially contemplated, and I assume that we will have to continue the work to have those contributions come in. There has been an additional contribution received, which is listed on Exhibit C, a Star and Tribune contribution, cost of the operations of the commission. Are there any questions from the members of the commission regarding these three items, bearing in mind they are very much in a preliminary nature?
Has there been any thought given to trying to get public funding for some of the support funds, raising some of the monies if the study goes on longer?
Several members of the commission have asked whether it would be possible to get legislation, which is the only way the public money can be authorized. There are plenty of other things that the legislature is considering at the moment. I'm not optimistic on a special bill for the funding of the governor's commission, although that's a possibility. David?
One thing that we are exploring, and I don't know where it will lead to, is in terms of some of the staffing requirements, we may be able to get CETA employees on the governor's staff, in effect working for the commission. There seem to be a number of unemployed artists or writers about the arts and so forth who might qualify for a CETA funded job, so that is one thing we're looking at.
Well, Mr. Chairman, are you pretty confident of raising that additional $37,000 privately if you have to?
Let me put it this way. I think I can see my way to about a total of $40,000 for the governor's commission. We assume not including the first 20. In other words, 20 more than we originally contemplated. When We started looking at sources of funds. We always assumed that it was going to run longer than the very first run-through, and just as a rule of thumb, I just doubled the total for fundraising purposes. So I'm relatively confident of at least $40,000. Beyond that, I'm not certain. 40 will take us, I think, through 7 months of the commission.
No, take us through what, April?
April.
End of April.
End of April. We will have to know at that point whether those sources are, whether we'll be able to get more money in. And I will renew my request to all members of the commission of consider any corporate or foundation sources that might be willing to make contributions to the state of Minnesota to help cover the costs of this operation, since it is a governor's commission as opposed to a legislative commission. The governor's office does not have separate allocations to it from the legislature to cover costs of operations of organizations such as this. Are there any other questions regarding these 3 points? If not, I will assume that the revised timetable, the budget subject to our being able to raise the money, and the issues to be addressed are approved by the commission. I would now like to introduce to you Mr. Myas Ames, who is here at our special request and invitation from New York to add what insights he can from the perspective of New York City and New York State and the national level on public funding for the arts. Mr. Ames has been very active in this field for a number of years. He is currently, I believe, chairman of the board of Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts in New York City. He is, or if were, was head of the New York Philharmonic, and
still are,
and formerly chairman of the executive committee of Kidder Peabody, which is located in New York City. From our point of view, he has been very active in efforts to develop public support for public funding for the arts. He's been chairman and is chairman of the Concerned Citizens for the Arts in New York, and he's chairman and organizer of the National Partnership for the Arts. I've asked Mr. Ames to make a few general comments on this subject and then be available for questions from members of the commission.
Great.
I think you can sit right here. The microphone is on.
Well, I am very, very honored to be here. I do feel that sometimes some of us who come out from New York aren't quite sure in this particular period that we're the place to go to for counsel and advice. But I think one thing, if I may make a distinction, the arts in New York have been maybe doing better than the city itself and better than the state. But I do come from a part of the country where there are some awful tough lessons being learned. The budget cuts by the city, by the state, the impossibility of following through on contracts makes it a period of considerable trouble. What I thought I'd like to do, however, is to take, I hope not more than maybe 15 minutes, and just lay before you certain things. I did have three sort of exhibits, and I wondered if members of the committee could have them. One was toward human priorities. The other was the Concerned Citizens Letter, and the third was the copy of the National Report.
They will be distributed.
I think if they could be distributed. I have I would like to start, if I could, by showing this toward human priorities, which I think you have not yet got, but because it shows the two sides of what my interest is. One, it shows the problem of Lincoln Center as a whole, and on the other side, it shows a picture of an activity which essentially is street theater, community arts. It happens to be on the plaza of Lincoln Center because we never miss a chance. But it does show you the breadth of the concern. The concerned citizens of New York do have the position that the arts are for everyone. All of our work is on that basis, and I think that one of the really remarkable things about the New York experience is that the big institutions down to the smallest activity in the smallest community have all pulled together. We've had our troubles, but whenever the question comes of the question of legislation at the state, they have pulled together. And I think when I, about 7 years ago, when I left an administrative head of Kidder Peabody, I went to Lincoln Center. I thought I was going to the arts. I think I've ended up in politics. And quite a lot of what I'm going to say in this brief period is about politics. But let me start at the broadest point, which is the National Report on the Arts. You've all got copies of it, and I'm going to take only refer to it. But that report, I suppose, is something like it was an ambitious thing. It took us, we learned very quickly that it takes at least 9 months to have a baby. We had to get it done before the National Endowment testimony was taken in Congress. It was used as the basis of congressional testimony. I think if you turn to page 6 of that report, you will see the nature of the people that worked on it. They do include Sandy Bemis from this good city, but from labor, from teaching, from all parts of the country, and they were advised by some of the, I think, most able people in the foundation world. And as a result, this report was produced. It was distributed to in about 120,000 copies around the country to all arts institutions, to all members of labor unions concerned with the arts. And it has had, in fact, it's interesting that we have just, the report recommends that a national level of funding for the endowment should be $225 million. We've just heard this week from Congressman Brademas's office that calls are coming into his office all the time to know what is this $225 million bill. It's an example of an idea going out across the country. It's a seasoned piece of work. It is having an effect, and I think in most states, consideration is being given to the recommendations of this report. And just because so many minds went into it, it's not mine. I would like to recommend it to you. I think it has in it a language. You will notice it deals not with the needs. It almost never mentions needs. It deals with the needs of the arts, the needs of people, which is the arts. And it deals with the gross cost of the arts, because in any activity, if any of us were businessmen, we were considering what we were doing, we would always start at the top to see what the sales were, what the gross income was. We'd never start at the bottom line. You get there when you understand what's going on. This has not been done in the arts. There's an example set here. I urge it on you. I urge it on you that it is the way that a state commission can get the best handle on what's going on in the state, and it is what happened in New York, and I'd like to explain to you how that worked. But before I do it, let me just, I'd like to read the recommendation 5 on page 3. Despite the heightened role of the arts in American life, there is cause for a deep concern about the future of the organizations that bring the arts to the public. The committee's work documents the fact that arts organizations, by the nature of their activities, are unable to keep pace with the rising cost of an economy based on mechanization, technology, and mass production. This leads to a paradox. The more technologically advanced we become as a nation, the greater the economic burden on arts organizations. And I just think we want to face into the fact that if 3 or 4 generations ago we had not realized that education was dependent upon government support, we would not have universal literacy in this country today. We are at a point, because of the very nature of our affluence and our success, where unless we realize that a wholly new condition exists, and that the economists can explain it to you, it is analyzed in this report rather briefly, the basic economic reason why a mechanized society tends to snuff out the one-to-one, the human interest. And I, turning back to politics, the reason why politics is coming into this and why I believe that this decade will see a real political movement for the arts is that the very success, the very extent of mechanization has led to a human hunger for the experience of the arts and of doing things with other people relating to each other. And this is a much bigger issue. It has nothing to do with the deficits of your arts organizations. It has to do with one of the fundamentals of how the people of the country and the people of the state want to live. And I'm sorry. I will try not to give too many speeches because I know you are pros. But that does sort of lay a groundwork for the points that I want to get to. You'll see on the final page 5 of the summary, it does have a specific recommendation that state aid be 10% of the gross cost and that federal aid be 10% of the gross cost, and the committee felt this very strongly, that the American way was that 80% of all costs should be handled by the private and the local sector. That is different from Europe. It's very fundamental to the thinking of this report. But there is a recommendation here, and it does deserve, I think, testing in your thinking as to whether that might not work. And let me quickly say, it is not a formula. No formula will work. In New York, and I can give you the figures for New York, but the major institutions get aid nearer a 7% level. The community aid activities get it at the 30%, 40% level. This has to be a matter of judgment. It has to be a matter of local citizens who are knowledgeable following it. But as a national generality, or as a point of departure to see whether or not what you're doing, it seems to me you can ask yourself the question, is aid for any activity you really believe in of less than 10% adequate? This report says it is inadequate, and I think it ought to be a fundamental of your considerations. Because it was done and presented, I'd like to read 2 paragraphs of a letter that was used in presenting it at the White House at the Budget Bureau, because it does answer some questions, particularly this paragraph. The needs of the arts are great, but that is not, now this is bringing this idea to the President of the United States. The needs of the arts are great, but that is not the argument that we're making, for so are the needs of our schools, colleges, libraries, our unemployment, our hospitals, of our cities and towns across the country. The point is that all of us need the arts. They are needed because they bring us solace and the spiritual enrichment in times of stress. The arts are needed because they aid the economy. For every $1 of federal aid, there'll be over $10 of activity, and where else in its budget does it have a bargain like that? I think that we urged on the President the fact that it would be a matter of great distinction in the bicentennial year to take a position of this kind, roughly 10%. That would roughly be $225 million, and I think there is still a chance that we may get not that funding, but at least that blocking out of a goal. And please remember the word goal, because it is the secret, and it's what I think you can do for Minnesota. It is the secret, I believe, of the development of how the arts really can be helped. Now let me turn to New York State. Each of you have a copy of the Concerned Citizens statement. It's our first letter. We are just preparing a second. You will notice first the letterhead, that the members of that letterhead are not people, they're communities. There are 79, I think, communities of the state. And in what each of those communities, there is an individual or several individuals. Some of them are, I suppose, elite would be the word. Some of them are the leader of the community arts activity. They, all of them, are deeply interested. The secret of the Concerned Citizens, its political strength, is simply that it has 1,500 people in every community of the state who, when they are told that there is something that should be done, they do it. And this, as you will see when we go back to the first vote for money, we got over 10,000 letters onto the governor's desk. We got over 10,000 letters onto the desk of each legislature, and those bills were passed with the leaders saying they had no political choice. Now, that wasn't done by me or this group of people. It was done by, it's a secret of a political movement which I believe in. There was an article in the Times the other day which talked of labor. It showed the money that labor puts into lobbying. And then it has a subhead, manpower can be as important as money, that is, in lobbying. And we have actually, in talking with members of the AFL CIO, boasted of the fact that we have a bigger, the arts, a bigger political clout. And they will admit it, not in the major sense, but in the sense that from the ability to get people to express themselves, to write letters, to call, that they cannot match what goes on in the arts. And that's a matter of human nature. It's a matter that has not developed it's an evolving thing. And it's why I believe that this could very easily turn into a major political movement before many years have gone by. Now what happened, and here's the parallel with your commission, in New York was that five, I think five, 6 years ago, the governor Rockefeller appointed a commission. The commission is known as the Conklin Commission. It was related to the legislature. Senator Conklin was its chairman. Several members were either state senators or state legislators. They, and on a forced headway of about 9 months, produced a report. That report was the first time I happened to have seen what I think is the all-important thing done. First, the gross activity, which was measured at around $300 million in New York State, was set forth, documented, and explained. The problem was defined as no less than 10% of that. The recommendation was $30 million. And the answer was, no way. The governor wouldn't buy it, but he did put up a bill, I think, politically, doing it at $15 million. And the surprising part of the story is that that bill was passed. It was passed by a close vote, and there were those who said it will not happen again. It's a Rockefeller-sponsored bill. Well, we've gone through into our third governor. The bill was raised from 15 to 34. The vote was 126 to 19. And those 19 votes, you know, New York is a agricultural state as well as its big city. Those 19 votes were unidentifiable as between the suburbs, the city, or the rural areas upstate, downstate. In other words, this thing had gone right across the state. It was overwhelming, and that was where the $34 million came from. I would like to turn to the paragraphs in the inside of this letter. It'll take me about 3 minutes. I only want to read three of them. But there has been some trouble in New York between the large institutions and the community institutions because the city of New York slashed all the community institutions to the point where they could hardly live, and they'd also taken a cut from the state, and this led to some pulling and hauling, so that there was to come back into unity, which they have done and which this letter represents. There was a philosophy, and it's the next to the bottom paragraph under a rallying of the constituency. And it says, it is the people in each community who determine which arts activities are to be supported. This is the democratic process. Because the opposite of that is, it is not a bureaucrat. It is not for the State Arts Council to be determining the artistic and cultural life. The function is to be supportive, not to be determinative. They do this, that is, the people in a community, through their attendance, their support in giving, and their requests for the services of arts organizations in their communities and in their schools. Now, if they do attend, give, request, then it is an activity in which they, and again, if according to our report theory, 80% of the whole is being taken care of on this basis, it is almost establishing a right of that group of people to have help in the artistic activity that they are doing, just as if they were a school or in some other way carrying on a social function of the state. Throughout the state, people are demanding more activities of arts organizations, and more people are attending these activities. Accommodating increased audiences and maintaining quality presentation standards adds to the gross cost of each activity. The expenses of an arts organization relate directly to the nature of the services if the organization provides, that they provide. It therefore is only just, a word maybe that shows that there had been an argument. It therefore is only just that the apportionment of state aid be in some way commensurate with the budgets of arts institutions. I think that has been learned. I think it again emphasizes that your analysis should look to the total, start with the total budget, the total cost, which after all is the entity you're looking at, and then you come through to the judgment of what the amount of aid ought to be. Well, this is here, you have copies, and I don't want to take your time on it, but I thought you might be interested in two things. One is, why is it that there is not trouble between the primary organizations in New York and the community activities? Why is it that we can come together under a heading, "The arts are for everyone," and carry with us the Metropolitan Museum, Lincoln Center, the Buffalo Museum, and so forth, at the same time, and do it without any sign in 3 years' time of difficulty? I think it comes to the fact that there are, in New York, 830 art organizations. 80 of those produce over three quarters of the gross cost. In other words, $220 million of activity is located in 80 institutions. Now, those figures are big in New York, but one thing we found out in the national report, and incidentally, this sampling has been tested and cross-checked in other states and stands up pretty well. Every state's a little different, but the basic thing is here. And it's a fundamental that in any state you will find that a very high proportion of the dollars of the total activity are tied into a relatively small number of organizations. And it's for that reason that with our legislation providing that 50% of the money must be for the primaries, which is written into the legislation, and the other 50 therefore becomes to this other function of the community arts and the broader programming and other activities, there's wisdom in it, and it works, and it means that you have to appropriate enough money for both. As long as the half that is there for the primaries will do what it should do, there's a possible for the whole range of big and small to come together and work in one common cause. Now, the point is, they have in New York, and I don't think it's a miracle. I think it's just the way people are, only I think that it does require that kind of an understanding to get it. Just to carry through what we do and did, and then I will be through. We are getting out a letter, I have a draft of it here, of the concerned citizens. A group of us went to see the governor, that group representing people like Hazel Bryant, who is just a marvelous woman, from head of the Harlem Ballet and the Harlem Opera, Harlem Theater. The head of the community arts councils in the state, Douglas Dillon, Blanchette Rockefeller, Malanzi from Buffalo. We went to see the governor probably at his worst day. He gave us 35 minutes. He said we asked him for $41 million and he laughed at us. And we told him why. He asked that hard question, how could I possibly do anything like this with the troubles facing this state? Well, we told him that this was the year he had to, and that there was a reason. And the reason was that the state was in deep trouble. And that deep trouble came and caused the taxes to be high. And the taxes being high and the crisis being severe led to the question on the part of business whether it wanted to stay in New York. That led to the question of others, do you want to locate a business in New York? If you superimposed upon that condition a fading down of the cultural life of the state, you would seriously hurt the state. The amount of money involved in a $10 billion budget was $34 million. He had no choice. He had to do it. Well, he listened, and he eventually put $30 million into his budget. It is in his budget. That doesn't mean it's passed, doesn't mean it's appropriated. It's in the governor's budget. In doing so, it's the smallest cut of any item in the state of New York state. We also point out that in the national level, the almost the only increase in any account, because nationally, both Democratic, Republican, and President Ford, the Budget Bureau, have a strong conservative feeling about the spending of money, the National Endowment for the Arts budget has been raised from $77 to $82 million. So that there's something here. I would like to read, if I may, four paragraphs from the letter that we're preparing, just because I think it does answer the hard question. It shows you how we're doing it, slightly repetitive over what I've said. But it's under the heading, Year of Selection. And it gives a quotation. It said, as the great conservative Edmund Burke put it two centuries ago, economy consists not in saving, but in selection. That quote was in a New York Times editorial on state finances of a week or so ago. Then the letter, if we do draft it, because I'm really reading who drafted the letter, the reality. There is no saving in cutting the appropriation for the arts, only loss to people and loss to the economy of the state. The way to return to budget balance is to foster a more rapid economic recovery. And one essential to such a recovery is to be more selective in spending. Under the circumstances of state crisis, the arts are a natural selection for special aid. And then the part I want to get to are the reasons, and there are five. Every dollar, the first one, every dollar of state aid, for every dollar, $7 are spent by the citizens of the state. Where else in the budget is there such a participation, such an economic return? The second point, the danger to all our cities and to the state itself is that businesses will leave and employment decline because of the stresses and taxes caused by the economic crisis. Because businesses value the quality of life in the cities where they are located, support for the cultural activity in the cities is one of the ways to prevent such a tragedy. 3. Tourism is the second greatest revenue producer in the state, over $2.5 billion of its gross national product. In a national survey, 45% of those asked why they liked to go to New York cited the rich cultural resources as the first reason, far ahead of any other reason. And I might add, if you can conceive of people staying at home, maybe just not getting out, not buying clothes so they can go people shopping, not going to restaurants, the whole economy could just dull down. And if you conceive of this doing in any this happening in any major city, it could become a great human tragedy. Those cities could become, in effect, almost cancerous rather than healthy places for people to be. The economic problem for in each of our cities is forcing cuts in city support for the arts. This dimming of the city lights will create an emergency of serious consequences to the state. And 5, it is particularly important that those arts institutions which provide, and this is the primaries, now listen to it, those institutions which provide the most services receive the most attention in their community and serve most effectively in holding and attracting people to our state should be kept functioning. It's clearly written to the prime institutions in the arts. Many of these primary nonprofit arts institutions receive less than 10% of their costs in aid, and that is inadequate. And it goes on to request the $34 million. Those words are a little full of stress because New York is full of stress, but I think the principles are sound. I do think that, I guess the rest of the country is learning a lot from New York, but New York's learning it the hard way. And I just did want to leave with you, though, the final point that there is one thing that happened that brought it all about. It was the Conklin Commission. There's a parallel to you. The one thing that happened that the Conklin Commission did was to think the subject through. Some people said they were too bullish. They thought too big. Nevertheless, they thought it through. They documented it. They got some figures. They were gross figures. And they set a goal that was an important goal. And it was the setting of that goal, in my judgment, that gave the... First, they documented it so the legislators had a sense of confidence in voting the money. But secondly, the people around the state suddenly saw that if that were available and if their legislator would vote for it, they could get money to help their arts. And that's how the whole thing developed. And as I see it, it could very easily happen in this state that the report of this commission could document it, could set a goal, and from my point of view, I'd never ask a politician for money. I just think we ought to snow them from their back home districts. Let them be told. And that's what I think, that's what happened. And when they hear from back home, then they will do it. I think the idea of lobbying or telling them what they ought to do, it just isn't going to work, or being competitive with any other area of the state activity. We're very sensitive in New York because our arts, we outsell sports 2.5 to 1. Just Lincoln Center alone in New York City. The dollar income is very high. The taxes around Lincoln Center, and you may have heard this, but you know Lincoln Center was built in a depressed neighborhood, and in the course of about 15 years, there have been sufficient value added to the city's real estate valuations, so that the city is getting $40 million of fresh money a year out of that area. It's cold, hard cash. We're not getting any of it. But it's something to be proud of, and it's something to think big of, and I think I really perhaps should apologize for having turned this into a lecture.
Not all, sir. I think you've given us a large number of very thought-provoking ideas, particularly with the scope of your work that we have just been considering. I'd like now just to open the meeting for general discussion, questions by individual members of the commission. Mr. Rowe.
The request, or at least on page 5, you've indicated a 10% from the state and 10% from the federal government, and also state that the federal or state aid at higher levels must not be permitted to lead to political interference or control. Where does the accountability come in, or who scrutinizes the 80%? How do you escape the state or the federal government that are going to contribute 20%? And maybe this is what you mean by interference or control, but
have something to say about the setting of that of the other 80%.
Well, I think they have, but I was thinking when I said not control of the artistic nature. I think they have everything to say, to audit, to know that the audit the books, to know that the management is effective. Standards would be set that as expenses of the activity increase, so would ticket prices, so would the giving of individuals. All of these would be part of the standards set by, let's say, an arts council, and audited by the proper governmental officials. The worry has always been, that's a defensive statement, the worry has always been that government would interfere with the artistic development, and they're not awfully good judges in that area.
My point was, I'm not sure that that's where the interference would come, but it would seem to me that they'd be very concerned about their 20% and how that revolves around the other 80.
Can I ask as an elaboration on that question, would you regard the proper vehicle for that type of accountability, because this is one of the questions that's come up in Minnesota before, legislative requirements, requirements by an organization such as the State Arts Board, which administers the funds, the requirements that there be percentage representation on the boards of organizations which are recipients of these funds, matching the percentage of public funds appointed by a public official such as the governor or the legislature. What, in terms of refining accountability, what attitude, what is your sense of the appropriate level of government participation and control to ensure that the purposes for which the government is appropriating the money are being met without providing undue interference with the amount of self-generating resources that come out of the private sector?
Well, I think all of those steps, some of them go further than I have seen them go. We have government representatives on Lincoln Center's board and work very well with them. It's not general in New York. Board representation is a possibility, whether it's wise or necessary to achieve the result, I don't know. But every other thing you mentioned, it seems to me, is absolutely necessary. You have to know of the integrity, the way the funds are used, that they're appropriately used for the purpose designated, and there has to be a review. There has to be a set of standards set up by the Arts Council. And that has worked very well. The one thing that I think has come out almost best in our New York State is the sense of confidence because of the overlook that exists there, not only by the Arts Council, but by the committees of other citizens in the community who review the grants before they're made. So those can be just as tough as you want to make them. But I think my point about artistic freedom is that if any group of citizens can rally an activity and finance it, let's say somebody in one of your cities wanted to start a ballet and they got all excited about it and they finally had a $500,000 a year operation and they had people giving $200,000 or $300,000 to it in gifts and they had a packed house in their little auditorium, it seems to me they've earned the right to be considered, if their standards are right, they've earned the right to be considered for aid by the state funding.
So it turned into more of a concept that the legislature is familiar with. You would say that there would be, in essence, a proof of need when the community itself is generating whatever the accepted standard of money to support that. That some sort of percentage of that would be, meeting that standard, there would have to be proof of community need for it, ability of the community to support it to a certain level to justify it.
Participate in it. buy tickets, attend it as a museum. Service to the community is one of the conditions that would be set up before the grant would be awarded. And of course there are, for instance in New York, there are some very fine museums that would never get a penny because they're endowed. The need isn't there. And that's, I think, just the way it ought to be.
But does this mean that that in fact an enterprise, an artistic enterprise, must get started on its own in a community and prove by some years of activity that it is going to presumably have a degree of viability before it gets or should get any support from the state level?
Well, you see, there's where your state, and I'll now just cite what's happened in New York, and it may not be right. I'm hesitating to tell you how to do it, but let me tell you how it is done in New York. There are the money, as I said, the legislation provides an adequate amount of funds for primary institutions. It then, and you'll see it on that letter in Concerned Citizens, it talks about grants of under $3,000 should be decentralized to the local community arts councils, which are on the front page. That's a very controversial thing because there again, you have to have standards before you allow a community arts council to have any governmental money. All right, cross that and have the standards. The point is that program money is available out of the other hat. And program money can start, can help an activity to get started. And there have been several, there's a real chapter and verse on this if you want to see it, of activities that have got underway. As they mature and as they become larger, as their gross grows bigger, they become community institutions. But all the way, they're proving it by people's interest, people giving, people attending. I think there's a way to do this, and it can be written into the legislation and into the rules of the Arts Council.
Mr. Ames, you talked quite a bit about your dealings with state government for state appropriations for the arts, but you referred also to city appropriations that are, you know, in places like Elmira and Ithaca and Potsdam and so on. Does the city council make a direct appropriation out of local tax levy to local arts?
Yes.
Organizations?
There is important support. I just say yes, I don't know that there is in every one of those cities. But there is important support from most of the cities for their arts institutions. The city is very apt to help the museum with the heating, the lighting, and the guards, let's say. Or they are apt to supply a parking place or something because it's in the community interest. There is, both the city and county do participate. One of the problems, one of the advantages of Lincoln Center was we never got any money out of the city, so we're not suffering from the trouble. But the Metropolitan Museum is suffering from a brutal cut. And that was because the city did pay for guards and for heating. And so they're closing. They'll be forced to close certain days. And this is just sheer tragedy.
Well, then if they say a certain museum in Elmira, just to pick a hypothetical situation, it may deal and receive some money from its own Elmira City Council or the county board in whatever county that is, and there's no involvement in that transaction of the state arts board at all.
None. It's local.
That's purely local.
It's local people, the local people talking to each other. It's a problem politically locally, and usually the local city will not do that unless a lot of people are attending, making gifts in support and so forth. In other words, it has to have a healthy entity or it won't work. Once you set as a standard that other people have to be helping, and this is an American way of doing it. It's not done in Europe. They've made, I think, a real mistake, where government gets up to 85% of course, and everything deteriorates.
Yeah. And your definition of other people helping would be the local tax budget voted by the council. In other words, if say we have in Rochester, the city council contributes toward our Rochester, the Rochester, not the other. We have the city council contributing to the Arts Center and the Civic Theater. Mm-hmm. This would be considered, in terms of local tax dollars, as part of the local contribution, which would enhance the possibility rather than detract from the possibility of getting the state and federal money.
I think that's right. I think that's the way it should be. Of course, if by any chance the local community took care of the problem, I would hope the Arts Council would not make a grant. In other words, there has to be a demonstration of need, and there has to be an interrelation. But there is a point, there is a very interesting thing going back to politics, and that is that in New York City, in within the last 2 weeks, the New York City Commission on Cultural Affairs, I'm sorry, Department for Cultural Affairs, has been created by the in the city of New York, right in the middle of this crisis. The subcommittee of the city council, and I assure you they have no connection with any of the what they would call elite institutions, voted 9-0 in favor of it. Again, there's no money, but what this in New York is doing is pulling all the money that is anywhere in that city under the control of one separate department with public checking on it. There are some good things happening in New York as a result of this.
Jeff?
Could I follow then with a question that maybe is sort of theoretical rather than practical, but if as happens right along that there's direct local appropriations of tax money from local governmental entities to local arts institutions, why couldn't a person reason that the total job should be done that way, that there should be no state appropriation, but leave it all to be done community by community throughout the state of New York through the processes of local democracy?
I think the real answer to that is in the rather difficult, at least for me to understand, chapter in here of the paradox of the economics of the arts. There's also a paradox of our communities. There seems to be a steady impoverishing of our communities. Now maybe I understand there's a chance that you here may be avoiding that with a metropolitan approach that's quite unusual. But in most places, the city and the cost of running the city is having the same effect on it, that is, difficulty in balancing the city budget, that it is having on the arts. I don't understand this quite, except there is evidence all across the country that city aid is being stopped. It's failing to keep up with the inflation and is becoming less and less reliable as a source of support. If you have to depend on city aid, you probably have to give up the arts. That's certainly true in New York, and I may be talk very extreme point of view, but I believe it's a principle that would go right across the country to lesser degree.
I believe you mentioned earlier today also the phenomenon that in many communities or in many states there is a mirror image of New York, in that within the metropolitan area tend to be concentrated the larger number of the major institutions,
which in fact are servicing a far greater area than just the municipal boundaries in which they're located.
That's right.
And that, in fact, one of the comments made was that here in Minnesota, particularly within the metropolitan area, there has been a recognition of that fact with several bodies, which used to be entirely financed by the municipality in, say, St. Paul or Minneapolis, now being financed at least in part by the county in which they reside, because they are really providing a county-wide service, not just a city service. That's the case with the Arts and Science Council, I believe, in St. Paul. I think it's the case with General Hospital in Minneapolis, and so on. And I think the same analogy can be taken further, that there's a percentage outstate, just as there's a percentage metropolitan, just as there's a percentage county, as well as municipal, which I think is part of what you would refer to earlier.
It's part of it, and I think if you do the analytical work, I cite in here, I think, the case of the of Beverly Sills, a vivid illustration of the economic impact of a single artistic endeavor took place when Beverly Sills made her debut at the Siege of Corinth at the Metropolitan Opera House. And somebody at Lincoln Center had the very simple idea of looking at the zip codes. And they analyzed the zip codes and they translated them into airfare, round trip airfare, Hertz rate, automobile travel, and so forth. There were 27 people, 27 states. People came from 27 states for that one night. Over 60 from Virginia, 39 from Texas, 16 from Ohio. They also have the figures for those from Staten Island, those from outside, who came in. They added it up, and it's $184,000. Now, if that single activity had not occurred, there would not have been any $184,000. And most of the activity occurred, as you can well imagine, with people coming from the Bronx, from Greenwich, from Princeton, and a large amount of travel through the community. So there is an interrelationship between the art activity in the center and the economy of the whole area around it, metropolitan economy.
Tom, did you have a question?
I just, it seems to me, if you have both city support and if you follow your thought of state support reflecting the need, do you not have a rather serious judgment problem when a particular city is not supporting its own arts institutions to the degree that it might be? And I guess I'm a little curious as to how you would resolve the need aspect of state support, because you necessarily, it seems to me, have to make a judgment as to what the particular local, city, county government is doing towards that particular institution.
I think the first point is city aid is not a requisite and may not necessarily be there. It may be that the local people in the city, and this is the case of almost all of the, for instance, Lincoln Center is a $74 million operation, gets virtually no money from the city at all. So it may or it may not be there, the city aid. The real answer to your question, however, is the hard answer, that very often the reason it does not give aid is an indefensible reason. It may be broke, which is the case now in New York City. These are the hard questions, and you then have to go to whether you make your decision on the basis of these structural entities of government, or whether you make it on the, you go back to the fundamental premise of everything here, which is that it's the people who need the arts. And you may have to find a way to support that art, even though there's some dog in the manger or somebody isn't doing it right. This is where a very able state arts council, very well staffed with citizen overview counselors, which is a normal operation, is very helpful. And you just have to make an exception, maybe. Rather than kill the art, if it's a really worthwhile thing.
We seem to have been talking about arts organizations around the state. Could you speak briefly to how New York has addressed itself to the needs of the individual artists, those who are not necessarily part of an performing or exhibition organization?
This is a very difficult question. The real answer is that the institution, which is a, so to speak, cooperative of artists, is the finest presenter and supporter of the individual artist. That's in certain areas, and let's take the opera singer. That's the only way they can be heard. Or let's take a musician, an orchestral musician. But as you move through the area of arts out into the individual single writer or single artist, it's, I think, not the function, it's my own personal conviction, that it's not the function of government, and it would be chaos to get into that smaller unit, that small detail. I can imagine groups of artists coming together being financeable. But I don't know the answer to the single individual.
Mr. Ames, that your answer there makes me think of something. Now, in the small city of Minnesota where I live, there's an individual artist who creates art structures. And all of a sudden, one day, he's got a $5,000 grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. Isn't that the kind of thing you've been describing as chaos, sort of?
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I don't know this individual. And I think there is a problem. I am speaking of personal point of view. There is a problem as you... I know a case where a state grant in New York was given to a movie of a community. And it really it wasn't a good use of state money. There's no way to prevent some of these things happening. This may have been a very good use of National Endowment money, I don't know.
I think it probably was.
But if you think of it as a national problem, yeah, and think of government trying to relate that way, it seems to me that the artistic institution, and remember, many of these are just groups. The community arts activity we're talking about, rather than being single individuals, you take a small community and two or three people will get together, and they may start out with just a school concert or something or other, but then they'll get a dance thing going, and then they'll need a hall, and it goes on. But in a sense, the artistic people of that community are coming together to do something, and I think there has to be a public service, a community service related to it before there is a qualification for state aid. And I believe that's the way to get it.
Well, I think Mr. Duff perhaps simplified how this was done. But what I see happening in this state and is being done is there will be, in effect, a commission where the state takes the place of the Medici's. You know, Da Vinci and Michelangelo would be in rough shape under those criteria if they would be individual artists. And we have funded, I've seen funding for someone to write a symphony. Mr. Biederman gave a work. His work is in the Walker, one of the works that came from the brain. And I think that there is a way, but if you answer it with your purpose, that you could fund a playwright to write a play about the, it might be the black community in Harlem. Someone could write a book. I think that might fit within.
Well, that has and is being done, and I think it's being done both by the National Endowment and by the State Arts Council. Happens to be my point of weakest knowledge. I have a I think the state, in a sense, is taking the place of the Medici. I think, unless somebody does, we just go gray. And I think all the way back, we now know the human race goes back about 6 million years or something, longer than anyone ever dreamed. I'll bet you, in all those days, that the chiefs who were pulling that group together dramatized it by dance, painting, and, so to speak, subsidized the art of that group. There's nothing wrong in it. The only thing that's wrong, in my opinion, is that we've become so business-oriented, so focused on the development of our gross national product, that we are under-nourishing a human part of our community's activities. And it isn't very much. The point of it is, I think, if you take the thing, either the 200, you see, $225 million to the National Endowment would make them able to give aid averaging somewhere near 10%. In New York State, somewhere in that 30, 34 million, they can give 10% to 300 million of total activity in the arts. There is your 20%. Well, how much is it? It's $34 million in a $10 billion budget. And at the same time we're watching that, somebody comes along and offers New York $750 million for that West Side Highway on a bush to pick. And it's an 8-to-1 ratio. I think they need $100 million to match the $750. And they haven't got the $100 million, and they don't want the highway anyway. But when you start realizing how small the amount of money would be for this state to help its citizens in this area and what it might develop into, I think this commission ought to set that figure on a fairly generous basis and not be too bound by the little bit more syndrome. It ought to be a little bit more. The point is, what ought it to be? And let that stand out there, and let them see what the people of the state do about it.
Just to move on a little bit, Mr. Ames, what's exactly the significance of the impact of the on the front page here of the Concerned Citizen Statement, where it says no less than 75% cents per capita should be provided for arts activities in each county throughout the state. Does that actually get written into the law? That sort of
it got written
much?
Into the law by the actual story. What happened was it was written into the law, I think, by Duryea, staff member suggestion. The idea was that it should be a very even distribution. The only problem with it is, I think, that the figure is too high, because if you take 75 cents, just to tell you what the problem is, the Bronx has got, I think, I don't know, call it 1.5 million people. Well, they are within easy transportation distance to Manhattan. Therefore, there has not been the development in the Bronx of artistic activity. If you suddenly put something into legislation like this, it comes out wrong. Now, I say wrong. I think it comes out to be too much money for the Bronx, because the Arts Council is having a struggle to find validated organizations to spend it on. And that isn't quite the way to go. The other side of it, and I believe this very strongly, there is evidence that because this, which has now been here, and the concerned citizens are for it because it's part of the political structure of our state, the governor's put it in, incidentally, at 50 cents. In his budget, new budget. Whether it'll stay or not, I don't know. Maybe push back the 75. But there are signs that the citizens in the Bronx are really starting to do things. And I think this is a very healthy thing.
This operates as an incentive.
It starts things going. But it's a very, that 75 cents, I must just tell you, is the most controversial. There are those in New York State, including the Arts Council, who tell you it's wrong. There are those in New York State, including some of the Republican, particularly Republican politicians, who say if it isn't there, there won't be any money for the arts. And it's just that kind of an issue.
Yeah.
So, and the governor has put it in at 50 on the grounds that there is evidence that the figure was somewhat unreasonably, casually put in at too high a level, which happens to be my unofficial point of view. But
yeah.
As the chairman of the Concerned Citizens, I have to be careful.
Just a point of clarification, that 75 cents is of the state funding, or is that a county appropriation?
Is it what?
Is it a county appropriation, or is it a criterion, a minimum for state funding?
It's a minimum for that particular county. And if the county had a million people in it, it would be 750,000, wouldn't it?
Yes, of state money or...
allocated to that county's activities by the State Arts Council. It is also, though, there is a very healthy movement whereby traveling exhibits from the Metropolitan Museum, traveling groups of singers and actors and ballet people, say from Lincoln Center, go into that county to its schools or to special occasions, and that is treated as part of it. So I think you can see that it has the effect of causing the major arts institutions to move their material around the state.
How many people are there in the state of New York now, sir?
18 million. 17 to 18. Our worry is that it's decreasing. New York really is decreasing. New York City. And one of the reasons is the very crisis we're talking about of the taxes are too high and the conditions of doing business are hard. That's the penalty of what's going on in New York.
Can any money be appropriated to any group or groups other than through the Arts Council?
No.
It has to go through the Arts Council.
Well, now they have an arts barge, a bicentennial barge, which is going up the Hudson and around.
That's an inference.
But that was especially appropriated money for that purpose.
That's separate in part.
Yeah. But there is no way that money could get to, I mean, everything is in the State Arts Council.
I guess at least it shows me that if anything's going to be done in this state, we're only talking about this particular state at this particular point, I think it's the Art Council and the credibility of an Art Council to make the decisions and answer the questions that we brought up with regards to individuals. Setting up the criteria as you asked, I guess we somewhat go through this with the United Fund. Yeah. You just can't set up an agency and say, I want a part of that. You have to be established, criteria, and then the decision is made. And it seemed to me that that's the key, with a strong Arts Council, with the proper credibility. And without that, I guess you have nothing.
And I believe not only a strong arts council, but I also believe that there should be advisories to that council so that you get citizen participation in judgment.
Chairman, I think it is important. And the credibility is I see the criteria being set up as an example. I presume the federal government sometimes wants to know is the state giving aid, and the state wants to know if the municipality is giving aid, and if that's the criteria, Then here, somebody mentioned a community that really can't afford it. Does that mean then that in some instances they're not going to receive any aid because we have to have some matching funds of some kind? Keep in mind now that you mentioned this has to be political, and I would guess we all know that. And when we're talking to the legislature, members of the legislature, you know, any similarity sometimes between your thinking and theirs is purely coincidental. And I think that we keep that in mind, you know, that they, where this break comes, you know, where we say, that's fine, you don't have to participate, but you do, and you do, and you do. And those are tough political, decisions.
They are. How is the State Arts Council appointed in New York?
Appointed by the governor.
With any, does it have to be approved by the legislature? Just appointed.
I don't think so, but I don't know the answer.
How long had that been in existence before your funding came? Had it been a strong council to begin with, or did it get stronger after the funding, or how did that happen?
It was appointed as a strong council. I think the trouble with it right now is that it has about 7 or 9 unfilled positions, and this is wrong. And one of the things that the concerned citizens are pressing on the governor is to fill those positions.
For lack of qualified candidates, or just
no? It's through lack of attention, I think. I mean, I don't know why things don't happen that should. I can't answer that question, but it is a fact that there is, that these places have not been filled, and I think it's partly the struggle that New York is going through. First, we've changed from a Republican to a Democratic control and governor. And secondly, we've walked into just a wing ding of a crisis. And I just don't think that there's been time to focus on this. So I think that's the answer. But it is wrong to have that the Arts Council really somehow or other, there is a danger, let me just say it. There's a little tendency for an arts council to get a little boring to able people who are serving on it. And if the quality of the people serving on it doesn't stay high, and if good, loyal citizens don't devote themselves to it, I can see that the arts council could become mediocre. And you don't want a mediocre arts council. Now, we haven't got one. We've got a good one, only it's not adequately staffed, and we have some criticisms of it, and you fight that out. But those criticisms are all in the press. They're in the public domain. Everybody knows about them. And I think we're evolving. In fact, there's no question Governor Kerry has taken hold of this with new appointments and greatly strengthened our arts council.
How long has this been in existence?
I think it's 6 years. It was the first one.
Relatively new.
Maybe more than that. It's the first in the country, and it started quite small, and it's only been 4 years that it's had any money of importance.
My reading from what you have said that this particular time that you, that the council may be involved, and you mentioned the politics, I think you don't want this involved, but this shouldn't be interfere, control, or what have you. Would I read from you that there's a concern, we're concerned with respect to a balance of Democrats or Republicans or affirmative action with this type of thing? I'm concerned with, well, you mentioned earlier about the concern of citizens. Citizens, you know, in these various communities, but yet there are, you mentioned, several vacancies, and the vacancies haven't been filled because of inaction or a lack of interest or someone. I'm just a little puzzled. And again, you're going to have appointments made, you've got to be faced with these realities.
Well,
I don't know how you faced them in New York, and if you're telling me you haven't, I'm surprised.
We haven't faced the appointments. At least they haven't been made. They're not there. I'm speaking of an actual fact and being critical of it. There is, on the other hand, a very close scrutiny of every act of that council going on, and it's being carried out by leading citizens in all cities, and I think it's probably getting as much public attention as any activity in the state. And you see, once you have an activity which relates to this fine museum and this little community, they are watching. And it becomes a matter of community interest. And I don't know of any other government activity that gets quite as close a scrutiny as the activity of the Arts Council. And I think it'll bound to be that way as long as it is an interest to the people. If it ever ends up like, let's say, the garages in New York City, I don't know if you know where they end up, but it's not awfully well run.
Park there twice,
remember? that's because nobody's interested. Nobody watches, but that's not the case of the Arts.
Is there any restriction on who can serve, the type of person that can serve on the council? Do you have to be a...
There's no restriction. I was trying to think whether there might be a restriction as to a recipient of funds, but I know that Tom Hoving, who was manager of the Metropolitan Museum, served as a member of the council. So that's not out. And I think the answer is that there is no restriction, but I don't really know.
Nor quotas as to people who are...
No, it can be all Democratic. All Democratic, all Republican. It can be...
All practicing artists, all practicing musicians, or...
But you see, that's what I'm talking about now, and I'm saying the state is paying attention. There's a real movement to get a few people on there who understand the budgeting of primary institutions. And I think the governor will recognize that as a valid request. There's a real movement to get somebody on there in this new quota of 7 or 9 that are going on who understands community activities. And the governor is going to respect that request. So that because of this involvement of all these people in this activity, it has these pressures on it, and it's working. Not always right, it stumbles, and I'm not trying to say it's a perfect organization, because it really isn't.
I assume it would be a function of the amount of interest it stimulates within the community. If it is having an impact, the community generally is going to be concerned with who goes on it. If it is not, then it's a convenient dumping ground.
It can't be a dumping ground as long as it is the difference between life and death for the artistic activity of the community, and that's what I think it is going to be in the years ahead. It's going to be one of the most important considerations and have as close attention as any activity in the community, because out of it comes the money. If the state is doing this, I mean, if this works, or let's go back to New York, out of it is coming the money that keeps those institutions going.
I have one general question. One thing that troubles me in the concepts and recommendations that your organization has made is this 10% formula. There's an easy way of ducking the question, which is that it's up to the legislature to decide how much money to spend, and that is a political or a policy decision by the duly elected representatives of the state. It's probably, nevertheless, up to some organization like this to at least consider what is appropriate level of funding. But what troubles me is to come out of the sky with a figure which has no relation to reality other than the various people have recommended it for reasons which do not seem to have a direct relationship to any other element in either the economic or the political system. I could see a formula being devised based on, for example, the arts are providing a certain level of service. The arts are operating at a deficit because of a certain level of service. That there ought to be determination either the level of service is too high and it ought to be cut back to that level. And that's the responsibility of the organizations to be encouraged by something like the Arts Council, Arts Board. Or that the community does have a vested interest in a level of service, however that can be defined. And that to reach that level of service, whatever the deficit is over their own means, should be met by public funds. But to come to propose just a figure seems to me to depart from good logical decision making and can be challenged on just that basis.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the reason it's in here is that this is an effort to deal with the subject nationally. And every time 10% is mentioned in here, it is qualified to say that is not a formula, it does not restrict. Let me just to show you why. I mean, these are the facts. Sometimes people have done things and it comes out that they do them for a reason. And just let me read you four figures. Organizations last year in New York who had $1 million gross and over. There were 35 of them. They got 8.4% aid. Those between 500 and a million, there were 13 of them, got 16%. 250 to 500,000 got 27%. 125 to 250,000, that's annual gross operating expenses, got 34%. Some of the project funds went as high as, I think, 50-55%. But by just listening to those figures, you will see that it is absolutely wrong, and you are absolutely right, to try to establish a formula. And the reason is that every one of these communities, every one of these activities is different. They may be endowed, the city may have gone busted, there may be, take some theater activities can be almost self-supporting from ticket income. You're not going to treat them with a formula. But the National Committee wrestled with this one, and we finally decided that you have to set up a sort of a standard, a goal to look at it and see whether or not. And they finally said, if somebody who is really doing something needs some help, if they're not getting as much as 10%, it's inadequate. And there must be a reason for they're not getting it. And so we put it in to challenge people, and it was probably the most argued point in the preparing of the report.
I think we have time for just one or two more questions. We want to be sure that Mr. Ames gets his flight. Mr. Rowe.
Somebody who hasn't asked a question.
Somebody over here? All right, you're back.
Just going to follow that up. I would guess that you can't always use as a criteria something that works someplace else. Might be fine in New York, but not good here, and sure, vice versa. But as a rule of thumb, is this the criteria for New York, 10%?
It is not the criteria.
When you went to the governor and you said, we need $40 million, put it in your budget, what was the criteria? What would you base that on?
We based it on the original Conklin report, which said that the gross operating activity in the arts in the state was $300 million, and therefore we were justified in asking for 10% of that, which was $30 million. Never from that moment on has that ever been turned into 10%.
It just worked out at 10%?
It's just as I say, those figures I read you were the application of those monies. And yet,
For if the people of a state are really interested and really doing things to this extent and they are in trouble, to have state aid in a degree of 10% seems like a reasonable thing. After all, there have been times when artistic activities have been subjected during war to a tax on tickets I think close to that, 8 or 10%. Well, that's the government taking it away. It doesn't seem like a big thing to say, well, if you can tax it almost to 10, give it a little help.
Nothing to say, it could be 5, could be 40.
Yeah. Could.
How have you faced, may I ask one more question? How is, have you faced the argument that the state steps in with its aid? The private community then will say, well, thank heavens they've come to take over the load, and we don't have to pitch in as much as we did before.
The state has set down a principle that one of the conditions of getting a state grant is that private support continues at the levels it was before. Now, we're in an inflating society. For instance, my New York Philharmonic has gone from $5 million up to $6 million in the last, I forget, couple of years, a total gross annual cost. If we did not bring our private giving along with that, the State Arts Council would say, well, look, you've got to find this money.
And that really is applied as a...
That's the concept, yes, of at least 80% coming, and a side rule that levels of private giving must be maintained.
Very appropriate.
I think it's very appropriate.
Dr. Krosnes,
and incidentally, that is very clearly spelled forth in here as a principle.
Is it, Dr. Krosnes, is that a current criteria of the State Arts Board in grants?
Grant.
It is.
What if they don't need it? They don't get no money?
Yeah.
Yeah, they only raised 75% of the 80, and without luck.
In theory, some people say that, let's say, symphony orchestras ought to disappear. This is an age of hard rock or something, and people don't support them anymore. And then, let's say they are, they're dinosaurs. In theory, that's the way they would go down. They would go down because people were unwilling to support, they were unwilling to buy tickets. And suddenly, this activity, this private support area of 80% would be dropping. The government shouldn't hold in there. I think there's things ought to be fading back and coming up. There ought to be room for both. And I think this report has that general philosophy in it.
Dr. Chaskin.
Are there any statistics available at New York as to the extent of private giving as what's happened since this $41 million has come into existence?
Yes, and there are private giving is shown in this report, and it is steadily going up. And incidentally, private giving in the city of New York suddenly jumped because people are saying we care, and they're trying to stand in there and make things stay steady. Somewhere in here, though, you'll find the actual private contributions on page 14. You'll see run from 32 million, 35 million 9, 38 million 7, 38 million 9, 40 million 5. Now that's just a sampling, but that's also true in Lincoln Center. It's also true in the state of New York. It's also true in the state of Washington. I just happen to know those facts. And I believe it's true, this sampling is national.
Yes, sir.
But it's not a great big sampling.
Bemis.
I'm not sure that a guest is appropriate to ask a question or make a comment, but if I may, as a member of this committee, one of the things that impressed me most about the findings of the committee was finding number 4, arts organizations play an important role in the nation's economy. This quantifying the economic impact of the arts organizations in the state of Minnesota.
I think it's a matter. It's a constantly evolving subject. And you heard me mention a little earlier about the economic importance to New York City of holding on to its businesses rather than their going away. That's getting pretty far afield, but nevertheless, it's part of the economic impact. I think that each state is different, but I would hazard a guess that you had here in this state, probably one of these cities, some pretty able analysts who could take hold of the problem for the state. The whole concept of the economic value of the arts hasn't been developed in our society. The whole question of what would happen if people were more active, and it could be developed if they were to a degree more active in coming out of their homes and doing things, that would add directly to the economy. I think you have to get some original research, and if you will see in the back of this report is a bibliography, and in that bibliography are attempts to do this. There's one in Boston which is quite good, there's one in Philadelphia which is quite bad, there's one in Baltimore being done by the Johns Hopkins Institute which I think may turn out to be the best. There's been one recently been done in Seattle by the mayor, Ullman. I haven't answered your question very well, except to say that it is a wholly new subject. All the answers aren't known, and I think your state might make a contribution.
But did not the study that was made develop perhaps an approach to this question? Is there not some data, not in this document, because this is a summary, but at least a conceptual approach as to how to quantify this matter with regard to any particular area? We attempted to do it nationally, and perhaps that was a little easier, because perhaps the data was a little more available. But could we be helpful to this commission? Really my question, and I'm asking you, because I don't know, you're so much more familiar with
Well, I think the answer is.
Service to this commission and providing them, if they wanted, with some kind of a way into this, an answer to this question.
The answer is yes, and we would be very glad to do so. My hesitation was I couldn't give you a direct answer because it's an evolving problem. It's particularly being worked on now in New York. We do have some backup material. We'd be glad to be in touch with you, and if you will just communicate and let me give you the leads, which I can give you, that lie behind this report.
Mr. Dernberger has construed Mr. Bemis's remarks as an offer of assistance, and he has already accepted. I think we ought to permit Mr. Ames to get his flight out of here. It was all he could do to get into Minneapolis today, and I don't want to be responsible for him missing that. So if there are no more urgent questions, I'd like to permit him to go with our great appreciation, sir, for the time you've taken and your willingness to come out here and help enlighten us on this most complex subject.
Well, as I think you can see, I'm interested.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Goodbye.
Much.
Very honored to be here. Appreciate it, and good luck on. I think you can see that I really feel this commission could be could do a tremendous thing by coming in with a good report that sort of set a standard. If it did, I predict all the other states are going to fall right in line.
We always do that in Minnesota.
Thank you very much.
We have a couple of other items on the agenda. I will not try to keep you much longer. A number of these items were intended, depending on how long our discussion with Mr. Ames continued, and they are planned to be discussed at greater length at later meetings. I'd like to just call your attention to the financial data on the major arts organizations, which has been produced by Touche Ross at our request. There are a couple of items to clarify that need to be clarified in that report, but I think the point I'd like to make today for all of you is the magnitude of the problem of these larger organizations collectively in the metropolitan area. The cumulative deficit is shown on approximately the third line from the bottom, revenues from operations, contributions, and grants over or under expenses. That is the line in which their net profit or loss is recorded. And you will note that in 1974, these figures, incidentally, are now adjusted by the accountants to reflect full years of operation in their various facilities so that they're no longer a distortion. For the year 1974, those major organizations showed a combined operating deficit of $1,560,000. For the year 1975, that figure climbed to $1,975,000, or very close to $2 million a year. I think that's the magnitude of the problem. We will hopefully have a more detailed explanation on those figures from Mr. Ballack from Touche Ross at a later meeting of the commission. There is also in front of you a preliminary report by Mary Boschick, who has been working for the commission on the smaller arts organizations all over the state. The number of organizations reporting are shown, as are a number of organizations. Do we have a list here of those that are not yet in?
250?
No, the
difference between that and 400 plus.
That and 400 plus. Some of that preliminary information is set forth and on the spreadsheet attached to that exhibit. We will be having a detailed analysis of that at a later meeting also. I would like to call your attention to the maps that the commission staff have been working up based on the reporting that is coming in, which shows graphically the distribution of arts organizations in the metropolitan area and in the state and their classification as to types. This information hopefully is going to be included in any final report we can put together, but I think it's interesting to show both the diversity and location and concentration. Some areas of concentration are obvious and some are not so much. And when the meeting is adjourned, any of you obviously are at liberty to come up and take a closer look at that. We have had Ann Payson and Steve Sell have been working diligently on setting up the special subcommittee on artists' needs, and they obviously are not ready to make a detailed report, but I thought I'd let and ask Ann to make just a brief comment or so on how that work is going.
I believe you all received the materials that are going to be sent out. We're now test marketing the questionnaire for individual artists in every discipline that we can identify. We're going to circulate those questionnaires as widely as we can throughout the state, allowing individual artists to identify themselves to us rather than defining an artist or trying to ask only certain kinds of people to respond. From the material or the information we received from the initial group of questionnaires, we're going to select in the various disciplines certain people to who will submit to, for want of a better word, an in-depth interview about their working life, their income, their circumstances, so that we'll come up with a series of profiles representative of artists at various stages of their careers. Some of the things we want to find out, for example, are not what do artists need to support themselves, but how much of their time are they able to devote to their primary artistic endeavor. This would help us to understand, for example, what a composer needs in order to write a symphony when he's a member perhaps of an orchestra but really wishes to be a composer.
That is going to be a monumental task. I think one of the interesting things that came out from Mr. Ames' testimony today is New York, and at least in our opinion, no other state has attempted this type of systematic analysis. This will be one of the areas where we will be working totally new ground. It'll be very interesting if we can come up with some constructive proposals. Mr. Rowe.
Mr. Ames was here. I think he indicated that at one time he wouldn't want to pose any questions because he said you people are all pro. It's gone now. There's no use me pretending. What the hell do you mean by discipline? You're talking about the various levels of artists?
Musicians, dancers, actors, designers, painters, sculptors.
When you say disciplines, this is what you mean.
Trades.
Pardon?
It's the same as the trades.
I don't want to plead this upon the dream.
I don't know where we're anyway, dude.
I think his real point was, and I know that the director of the Walker Art Center is very worried that once state funding or government funding comes, they will come to him and say, you can have an exhibition of Rembrandt, but you can't have an exhibition of Picasso because we don't think that Picasso is what we ought to show in Minneapolis. And that's what he was really speaking of when he talked of controls. And I think most people in the artistic world are very concerned that the state funding bodies would try to make that judgment as between a Rembrandt and a Picasso.
As near as I can tell, a number of the areas that have come up in terms of accountability are in fact already part of the State Arts Board procedures in making grants. And that's something I think we'll want to look into in the future, and the extent that that also can be incorporated in the report, we will help clear the air on this whole issue, which has come up in a number of other contexts, as to what type of regulation is appropriate for public money, and what should be the regulating body, and what type of controls are appropriate. A lot of that is in place without friction, without any undue interference, but with the level of reporting, which is obviously justified and expected for the expenditure of public funds. I believe that is the end of our official agenda. Are there any other major issues? If not, we stand adjourned. There are some problems with that legislative proposal.
We're discussing that right now. They're discussing that bill right now across the street. If you are interested in hearing how they.
just noticed there were no other organizations. We're not going to have another meeting of the commission for a month. I'll have the other ones in.
What's Apple's contribution in lieu of the institute?
No, the institute's going to make a contribution.
Well, I'll
sit on it for a minute.
Yeah, I'll sit on it or maybe send it over to you on mail.
All right.
And